Blog Talk Radio.
This edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. I am your host, J.A., the Managing Director and Co-Founder of Cover That Spread. And I'm going to be joined by Catacho very shortly here. So still looking to see where he's at. He was out of town over the weekend, so not surprised if he is still running a little late. But we will go ahead and get this thing started. Today's show, we are going to be talking mostly about the NBA Finals and NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Also going to be talking a little NFL here today, so lots going on right now in the world of gambling. If you have any questions regarding the legality of gambling, please direct them to your local and state legislative offices, and always remember to gamble responsibly. For those of you who are able to place wagers online, please remember that that sports betting, just like any other risk-based investment, can always lead to losses. So you must assess your own risk tolerance before you even begin. All right, guys, it looks like I have Catacho in the studio. My man, how's it going today?
All right, baby, all right. Looking forward to a great week of sports ahead. NHL Game 1 Finals, NBA Finals Game 1 as well. Champions League final on Saturday. It'll be a good weekend for sports. Also, the
and you are killing it right now in soccer.
You're killing it right now in soccer. Yes, sir.
For those of you who aren't following him on Twitter, make sure you are, because he's getting his plays out early so you guys can get in on the action. At the Catacho, T-H-E-E-C-A-T-R-A-C-H-O. Make sure you guys are following him. You guys can also follow me on Twitter at The Spread Radio, at Cover That Spread, spelled S-P-R-D, and at The Spread J-A. So be sure to check us all out on there. We're always throwing up free plays, so there's always a lot of stuff going down. What are you liking right now in soccer? Like what has been the key to your hot streak?
You know, as we've discussed several times over, with, you know, the leagues winding down over in Europe, just looking for what big games are left and which teams have kind of solidified their spot, whether it be, you know, solidifying that Champions League spot or they already solidified it. So, like Juventus and Barcelona, you know, they're just looking forward to finishing off the Champions League final rather than finishing off the league tables because they had already secured first place. So those were two big ones for those games last week as far as making those picks. So, again, we'll be looking forward to the MLS season as well as the Brazilian League that are both kicked off. But those ones we'll be looking more along the lines of who's injured, you know, what other tournaments they're in right now, because we have the U.S. Open Cup that's going on as well as the CONCACAF Champions League and the Copa Libertadores down in South America.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that I noticed a little bit in the NBA playoffs so far, because we've been doing pretty well in the NBA playoffs too, and it seems like when you kind of can predict what team is going to be playing seriously, it makes it a lot easier. And obviously, that's kind of a bad statement. Let me broaden that a little bit. If you remember, we hit patches of the NBA and the NCAA season, mostly NBA, though, I think is where you see it, where you can have a team that comes in really hot, they're at home against a bad team, and they either lose or they play really under their ability. And, you know, it's hard to predict how teams are going to approach a game night in, night out during the regular season. Then you get into the playoffs, and you know it's a seven-game series. You know each game what each team is capable of doing. And if you have a system, if you have a thought process and you stick with it, you know, it's going to be profitable for you. And we've been seeing that in the NBA playoffs. Although we have not been making official plays in hockey, I feel like we've been seeing that there as well. What do you think, you know, do you have any thoughts on the NBA playoffs, just in general, how they've gone so far?
You know, we haven't always seen the best team, or we should say the favorite, really come out and just, you know, lay the hammer down, as it were, in sports talk, where they've just absolutely obliterated the team. Let's take, for instance, the Bulls-Cavs semifinal series in Game 6. The Bulls were favored. You and I both said we thought the Cavs were just going to finish it off, and they went out and did it. I mean, the home team, the favorite team, isn't always coming out and really, you know, helping out those that are betting for the favorite. As far as that's concerned, we see a lot of the underdogs covering the games, especially that Bulls-Bucks series or even the Cavs-Celtics series. We saw a lot of the Celtics covering in that one as well. So I think the guys are still kind of getting into the groove. As far as, you know, those games were concerned, they weren't really coming out and just blasting away as far as, you know, wanting to make a deeper run into the playoffs, which we see the Cavs and the Warriors did, because the Warriors also struggled with the Hornets in that first-round series as well.
Yeah, it's hard to say they struggled against them because they swept. And one of those games, I want to say they won by at least 30. So I don't know if I'd go as far to say as they struggled, but it was definitely a lot closer than what I think the lines makers and a lot of casual bettors were thinking it was going to be. So I'll give you a little bit of that, but... yeah,
I know
one
of the games,
you
know, we saw the overtime where Steph Curry hit an amazing three-pointer from the corner in order to send it into overtime. So, you know, those games are kind of back-breaking games. those games are kind of back-breaking games for the underdog because I think, like you just said, you know, they came out and beat the Hornets by – I mean, not the Hornets, the Pelicans, I'm sorry, by 30 points in the next game. So that's just – kind of the way it's been going in these playoffs.
Yeah. So let's move it on to the NHL right now, and let's talk about this Blackhawks-Lightning series first. We've got a couple of different bets that you can place on the outcome of the series. So let's start it off with the series, how many games it's going to go. Right now the favorite is 6 games. Overall, this is just, it doesn't matter who wins. This isn't the exact series. But if it goes 6 games, it's paying plus 176. If it goes 7 games, plus 181. 5 games, plus 262. And if one of these teams sweeps, plus 609. What are your thoughts? Is this a 7-game series that we're about to see to start up tonight?
You know, from what I've seen from both teams, and both of them obviously going 7 in the conference finals, I want to say this one's going to be a 6-game series. You know, the Blackhawks from behind, the Lightning kind of lost their lead to the Rangers, but then pulled it out in the end. I think the big thing is really going to be how the Lightning perform at home, because they have not been great at home. Especially in the last round, you know, they sealed it on the road. Same thing with the Blackhawks, but the Blackhawks kind of split their games at home in that series as well. So I like the Blackhawks in 6. I think, you know, they've been here before. They know what it's going to take. They've got the guys, Kane, Taze, Hossa, you know, who's been there. They got some younger guys on the team as well that are going to be contributing. I think it's just going to come down to that, and I don't think the Lightning have the experience to really seal the deal in this one.
Yeah, the Blackhawks' top-end talent, I think, is far and away above where the Lightning top-tier talent is. I'm a little concerned about this one, and maybe it's because I have seen a lot more of the Lightning than probably a lot of people consider. I'm living down here in the Tampa Bay area, but what I see from the Lightning is, and this is kind of how it goes when you're talking about the East and the West in the NBA, is, you know, the West is obviously a much better conference. Now, the East has LeBron James, so that you always have that to deal with if you're in the East. But is that, you know, a really good competition throughout the playoffs once they get there? I felt like both teams have actually kind of lucked out with the teams that they played leading into the series here. But I've got to say the Blackhawks have scored more goals in less games. I want to say they're averaging almost a half goal more per game in the playoffs right now. And they seem to be firing really hard. They seem to have really finally caught their groove late in that series against against the Ducks. So I like the Blackhawks. I want to say it's going to go in five. Main reason I'm saying that is because if you take Blackhawks in six, that is the favorite of the odds. It's at plus 290. So if we look at the breakdown, the series correct score on betdsi.eu, we've got Blackhawks in six, plus 290. From there, we go to the Lightning in seven at plus 457. We've got the Blackhawks in seven at 498. Blackhawks in five at 551. Lightning in six at 612. Lightning in five at 728. Blackhawks with the sweep at 915. Lightning with the sweep at plus 1918. So we've got some good money on the board if you think you know where this is going to be. So if you're taking Blackhawks at four games, or I'm sorry, Blackhawks in six, you're looking at a 3-1 payout roughly. Do you like making that play, or do you want to look more at the Blackhawks to win line?
You know, I think one of the other ones that we didn't touch on there is, you know, they always have the who wins game one, whether they lose the series or not. I think that's always a good one to look at because I could see the Blackhawks losing this first game but winning the series. So those ones are always an interesting payout as well. But I think I'll take the Blackhawks in six. I think that's really where my money is going to be at. I know it's the favorite, but I just have a feeling that that's what the outcome is going to be. So I'll roll the dice on that one.
I have trouble seeing them sweeping just because I don't think they've swept in the either. Yes, didn't sweep either of the other two Stanley Cup series. I want to say, I'd say the Lightning are as good, if not better than any team they've faced in the Stanley Cup finals. This nucleus team has. So, I'm leaning at either five or six. I'd probably make plays on both of them, let's be honest here. But, so if we're looking, what you just were suggesting, win game one and win the series. Right now the favorite is the Blackhawks to win game one and the series at plus 160. Lightning wins game one and win the series is at plus 200. Lightning win game one and Blackhawks win the series, plus 298. And Blackhawks win game one, Lightning win the series, plus 602. So right there, the one that you liked, Lightning win game one, but the Blackhawks win the series, plus 298. You've got 3-1 on that. You could get 3-1, essentially, on the Blackhawks in six. So if you're putting down, let's say we do 5 units on each of those, you're essentially going to be up 30 units if both those hits. I like both of those plays. And the nice thing is, too, you can always back it up. Lightning win game one and Blackhawks win the series with the Blackhawks winning tonight because they are at plus 110 last time I checked. Let me see if that one has been updated. So would you say that you do like the Lightning winning tonight?
I do. I just think that, you know, they close out the last game on the road. It's less of a travel for them than it is necessarily for the Blackhawks, who had to go to Anaheim rather than New York to Tampa. And I believe Tampa had an extra day's rest as well. So I think they're going to be ready for the game. I think they might be a little nervous, but I think they're going to come out and really show everybody what they're made of in this game, which is going to wake the Blackhawks up, who, as we saw in last series, were kind of dormant until it was really do or die for them, where they won the next three games. So I like the Lightning in this first game.
So Tampa Bay is down. They were at minus 130 earlier today. Right now they're at minus 122 to win. Blackhawks were at plus 110. They were at plus 102 now. So we were seeing some money coming in on the Blackhawks. You're liking Tampa Bay minus 122. What is a better play, Tampa minus 122 or Tampa minus 1.5 plus 235? You like that goal line at all?
You know, they shut out the Rangers in that game 7, and the Rangers did have one of the highest scoring offenses during the regular season. So, you know, either they found the magic to, you know, stop the high scoring teams when they need to, which, like you said before, the Blackhawks have been averaging about a puck and a half more during the playoffs, or they just kind of got lucky in the game and New York was just kind of hot and cold, as we saw in that series as well. Where they were having, you know, struggles scoring. So I think I would rather go with the Lightning money line rather than that goal and a half.
Yeah, and at minus 122, it's not like you're giving up a lot of juice there where you feel like you've got to make a different play because you're not going to get a good payout. So I think 122, if you're going to go with Tampa tonight, is still a good bet. For me, I don't think I'm going away from the Blackhawks in game one here. I think if they're going to steal a game in Tampa, it has to be game one. And for the same reasons that you gave why Tampa is going to win this game are the reasons I'm going to say why Tampa is going to lose it. I think they have had that extra day's rest is going – when you're talking about almost a week's rest, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but that extra day, I feel like the Blackhawks are just bringing that energy a little bit more. It's a little more relevant. And the Blackhawks doing a little extra traveling, I think, plays into their favor. Just that's always been my philosophy, is that team that does the most traveling going into a game one. Like, you know, when you have a team that wins a game 7 on the road and has to turn around and play a couple days later, game one on the road, I usually like that to be the one that they win because I feel like they're riding really high and they don't know rest. So they just kind of keep going on feeling. And that's why I'm liking the Blackhawks tonight. I took them at plus 110. I still like them at plus 102. So that is the way that I will hedge the bet of Tampa Bay winning game one and winning the series and losing the series. So that is my hedge. That is my 2 cents of the day. If you guys know what's good for you, I would say bet against me tonight because I don't know anything about hockey. So that is my disclaimer for the evening. Now, do you remember, because I don't think we discussed it on any of the shows, but do you remember what the Blackhawks or the Lightning, what the odds were at the beginning of the series or at the beginning of the playoffs to win the Stanley Cup?
I do not remember what the odds were. I believe that we did kind of touch base on possibly betting the Blackhawks to win, but I don't remember what the odds were.
All right, yeah, well, I'll see if I can find that for next week's show. I can't remember what it was, but that would have been two nice payouts, I'm guessing, if you would have played both of those and one of them would be cashing right now. So on to the NBA, game one, Cleveland at Golden State. Golden State giving 6 points, point totals at 203. See what the series prices are looking at. Cleveland to win the series, plus 195. Golden State, minus 235. We've got We've got Warriors in 5 is the favorite. Plus 262, followed by Warriors in 7 at 324, Cavs in 6 at plus 482. I'm sorry, Warriors in 6 plus 406, Cavs in 6 plus 482. Then we've got the Warriors in 4 with the sweep at plus 613. Now, this is very odd to me. Four of the top 5 favorites of the 8 outcomes are for the Warriors to win. And I think that's really odd, too, that it has a slightly better payout for the Warriors to sweep than for the Cavs to win in 6. Let's round it out here, and then I'll get your thoughts. Cavs in 7, plus 780. Cavs in 5, 1420. Cavs in 4, plus 2299. Where do you think this series is going, Cachacho?
Well, first of all, I want to touch base on when we did the initial NBA playoff show, we predicted that both of these teams were going to make the finals. So, you know,
that is right.
That's a big one for us. I think we also predicted the Eastern Conference Finals was going to be Hawks and Cavs. I can't remember if we chose the Warriors and Rockets. I don't believe we chose the Rockets to make it, you know, to the Conference Finals. But, you know, 3 out of 4 ain't bad. And having the 2 finals picks in there, that's pretty good, you know, for handicappers to make those picks. But for me in this series, I think the Warriors in 6 is my play as well. You know, going with both of those NHL and NBA championships, you know, finishing in the same amount of games is kind of risky. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, Warriors in 5 is the favorite for this series. But I'm going to go with Warriors in 6. I believe that they're going to win this first game. I think they've got too many bodies that they can throw at LeBron James, J.R. Smith, and Kyrie Irving. I would also like to see if there's a prop bet on Andrew Bogut knocking out Dellavedova. So, you know, those are my picks. You know, I don't think Irving's got it in him to chase Curry around. I don't think LeBron is going to be able to be that guy to chase Curry around, because then you're leaving Klay Thompson wide open. Also, Harrison Barnes had a decent series. Draymond Green can stretch it out. Then you've got guys like David Lee, Sean Livingston coming off the bench. Those guys can stretch it out too. So I just like, you know, if they go small ball, I think it obviously plays into the Warriors' favor. I think even if Cleveland tries to go big with Mozgov playing most of the time, I think, you know, that'll play into the Warriors' hands as well. I do think that the LeBron factor really, for me, is what comes into play with them winning those 2 games, as it did with them sweeping the Hawks, because I think we may have said, or I may have said, that I liked Cleveland in 5 in that game, possibly 6, and they swept that one due to the LeBron factor, even though he was basically playing injured and without a healthy Kyrie Irving. But I think the Warriors just have way too much for Cleveland to handle in this series.
Yeah, and I don't like betting against LeBron. You know, I'm not a big fan of doing that, but I just kind of feel like this is where their season comes to an end. And obviously it's going to come to an end if they win or lose. So this is where they finally get beat, I guess is the better way to put it. But, you know, when you're taking a look at Golden State and what they bring, this isn't the same type of series as when LeBron was going up against Derrick Rose, where you could just pretty much put him on Rose, you could put him on Butler, and you'd pretty much take away the Bulls' offense. You can't do that in this series because too many guys are able to put up a lot of points on this Warriors team. So that's where they're going to run into trouble, I think. And Golden State, you know, they give up a lot of points, but when you're looking at the efficiency, when you're looking at how many possessions that they have and how many possessions their opponents have, they have the top-rated efficiency defense in the league throughout most of the NBA season. So, you know, they know how to shut people down, not necessarily in a way that keeps you under 100 points, but they definitely will make sure that they score more than you, and that's what it comes down to. So I'm also liking the Warriors in this one. I actually do like them in 5. And, you know, the biggest reason I like them in 5 is because I don't see them losing one of these first 2 games at home. And they've actually been better on the road this postseason than at home, so I don't see them, you know, I don't see them having too much trouble winning one of those 2 games in Cleveland before coming home to win it game five. So that is what I'm thinking with the Warriors. You've got them at 6, plus 406. I'm going to take them in 5 at plus 262. Let's see here. If we look at the game totals, so if you think it's going to end in 4 games regardless who wins, you're looking plus 594. If it closes out in 5 games, plus 235. Closing out in 6, plus 208. Closing out in 7, plus 184. So we're both right there. This is actually kind of odd. The games, the series total being 7 is the favorite, yet it's pretty much the same odds as the Warriors winning in 5. Like, it's just slightly worse. So that's an odd one. I'm not going to try to think about that one too much, but you've got that out there as well. Now, just like you were saying before, Cavs win game one and win the series pays plus 415. Cavs win game one and Warriors win the series plus 585. Now, we finally see a negative number on one of these. Warriors win game one and they win the series minus 175. So right there, that is your big favorite in the NBA and in the NHL finals here. And finally, Warriors win game one and the Cavs win the series, plus 578. I think we're both on the same page that the Warriors are going to win game one and the series, but I'm not going to be dropping money for a minus 175 payout on that. So I'm going to go ahead and pass. But let's look at tonight's game again. We've got Cleveland plus 6. Point totals 203. Where are you leaning for tomorrow's game? Yeah, tomorrow's game.
I think it's going to be a run-and-gun game. I think the Warriors are going to come out looking to really, you know, put their stamp on the game, and everybody knows their offensive team. With that being said, I think the Cavs are going to try to stick right with them, where you're going to see LeBron with the ball in his hands a lot. We could see J.R. Smith score quite a bit of points tomorrow night with that drive and kick coming from LeBron. I don't think Kyrie Irving is going to be 100% healthy yet, even though he has had a lot of time off. Both teams have had quite a few days off between series, but I like it to go over the 203.
Yeah, 203, I'm sorry, over 203 is exactly what I was going to say is my play, my thoughts on the game. I do like Cleveland keeping it close. I think 6 is just too much. But if you think 203 is the best play, as I do, I think we should make that one official. And we've got another day to watch where that spread shakes out if we want to make a play on the line. So I'm going to go ahead and lock that one in right now. Yeah, 203 just does not seem right to me on this one. So what are your other thoughts overall on the NBA finals? You made the good point that we had 3 out of the 4 in the conference finals, and I'm thinking about it too now. I think we had the Clippers beating Houston and then losing to Golden State, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that was our play heading in. But, you know, the Clippers had all their chances to win that series. So it's kind of surprising that they didn't, that they let Houston really, you know, take control and make it to the conference finals. And then Houston put up more of a fight than I thought they would in that conference finals as well, which is really the reason why I think Golden State has a better chance of winning the finals. Because they had a little more test in the Rockets than the Cavs did with the Hawks.
Yeah, it almost seemed like the Cavs basically had an extended vacation with that series. I mean, you know, and even if you go back to the Bulls series where, you know, they were very injured, everybody was banged up, and the Bulls still couldn't do anything against them. You know, it's really been a pretty easy run for the Cavs leading up to the NBA Finals. So I'm not feeling too good about the Cavs right now, right here in the spot, and they're just too banged up. So I've made official Cleveland and Golden State over 203. That is a 5-unit play. Tip-off is at 9 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, June 4th. So make sure you guys get those bets in. Now, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we've been a little hit or miss with Skip being able to get on the show here, and we are looking for, you know, I think we're going to be on a little more consistently starting here in June just because schedules are looking a little better. But we have some NFL stuff that I want to start getting to. And when we're looking over the NFL futures, what we're going to do, we're going to start in the AFC East, and we're going to start with the New England Patriots, the Super Bowl champions. So when we're looking at the odds to win the AFC East right now, New England is favored at minus 175. The interesting thing with New England, they have only missed a division championship once since 2003, or including 2003. They've only missed it one time, and that one year that they didn't win the division, they won 11 games with Brady on IR with the knee injury. So I don't think anybody can dethrone them this year because I feel like the Jets and the Bills both have too many issues at quarterback, and the Dolphins, you know, they could go ahead and do it if they want to, but the I had them picked last year to win the division. I didn't think they were going to go far in the playoffs, but I kind of had a feeling it was their year. I don't think that they are any better this year than they were last year. And I actually think that the Dolphins are slightly worse than where they were last year just because I thought that they were a lot better going into the season than they were. So the addition of Sue won't make a difference for me, but they're paying plus 330. If you want to take the Bills to win the East, they're at plus 545. And if you want to take the Jets, they're at plus 760. Are you thinking Patriots are the only choice to really bet on if you're looking at AFC East winners?
You know, I think with Brady being out to start the season, that may take a little toll on the Patriots. Losing Revis as well, you know, is a little bit of a hit to the defense. But I think they're going to be playing with a bit of a chip on their shoulder this year because of all of the accusations against them being such cheaters in the past. You know, and then Kraft kind of reneging on his protest of the suspension. So I like the Patriots still, but I think the Jets possibly could have a shot of kind of overcoming some obstacles and really surprising people, but I still think it's the Patriots division to lose, so that's who my money will be on.
You know, I can't imagine the Jets have any kind of chance with their quarterback situation. But that's the biggest reason I just can't go with a team like that. You know, I would take Brady out for 10 games before I think I would put any money on the Jets because of that quarterback play. So any thoughts on the Bills? You know, they've added some guys. I think McCoy can be a good addition, but I don't think that you really want to, you know, attach all of your hopes and dreams to a guy who really got kind of overused in Philadelphia the last couple of years here. He's got a lot of mileage coming in. You know, they have Sammy Watkins, but as always, if nobody can get him the ball, it really doesn't matter how good your wide receivers are. Do you think that the Bills have a shot with their defense and with Rex Ryan being their coach and knowing the division as well as he does?
Yeah, I think with Rex Ryan coming in and just like you said, knowing the division well, I think that bodes well for the defense, but I think that their offense is still going to struggle. You know, the addition of McCoy, like you said, makes a little bit of a difference. You know, they were going with kind of like a three-headed or four-headed monster of running backs over the past few years because of injuries to Fred Jackson and the others there. I'm not really confident in their quarterback situation either, so I don't think the offense is going to get much better, even though McCoy was added in. The reason I do like the Jets is because of the addition of Brandon Marshall. You know, I think they had a decent receiving core last year as well with Decker joining the team. It's just Geno Smith is really the big outlier there as far as the offense is concerned. Getting Revis back helps the defense as well, which the defense wasn't bad last year. But adding him in kind of helps them out. But offense is really going to be the struggle for both the Bills and the Jets, I believe. So that's where, you know, saying that we put our money on the Patriots is really kind of where it's at still because their defense has been so strong.
Yeah, and the Bills, you know, a really big factor that they lost off their team was Scott Chandler, who I don't think he's like one of these elite tight ends that are out there right now, but he is a guy that understands spacing, especially in the red zone. And when you have potentially E.J. Manuel starting for your 2015 Buffalo Bills, you've got to make sure you have a safety valve for him in the middle that he can trust. And maybe they're going to have some sort of really new style, you know, read option that they're going to be running with Manuel and McCoy or whoever the quarterback ends up being. But I don't like what they've got going on. I also don't like the history of Rex Ryan's offenses, especially with young quarterbacks. So yeah, I'm good to go passing on them. The Chandler, what I did want to mention about him was that I didn't realize this until I think a couple days ago when I was starting to break down these teams. He signed with the Patriots. So now he is that second receiving tight end option opposite of Gronk. And if I am playing in a full season fantasy football league, that is a guy I'm going to go after because I feel like with their passing offense, the way that they ran the two tight end sets with Aaron Hernandez a few years ago, Scott Chandler is going to have some really good opportunities in that offense, assuming he gets on and stays on the field. So I really like Chandler in a Patriots uniform. It's another reason why I think the Patriots are going to be able to continue their reign as AFC East champions, because that is going to bring back a really good dynamic that Brady was thriving under. So the lastly, the other team, the Miami Dolphins, like I said, I picked them to win the division last year in New England to be in the to take the wild card. That was wrong, obviously. You know, we've seen them. They did a big shakeup with their wide receivers. They got rid of Hartline. They got rid of Mike Wallace. They brought in some good guys in Kenny Stills, and they brought in Greg Jennings, which, say what you will about Greg Jennings, he's old, he's slow, but he knows the offense, and he does a really good job of getting open. So the guy knows, he understands space. I think he's going to be really valuable for Ryan Tannehill's growth, but I still don't see the Dolphins being able to overcome the Patriots this year. Do you have any thoughts on the Dolphins or on the Sue addition?
No, I'm still not confident in the quarterback situation down there either. So I wouldn't say that even though they made those additions that they're going to make all that big of a difference, you know, when the season gets underway. So, you know, I just don't like the Dolphins at all. I'm going to stay away from them as much as I can. You know, they could be the team that gets a wild card berth, but I don't know. I just have a feeling that the Jets are going to be better than what people are giving them credit for right now.
Yeah, if I see the Dolphins winning it this year, getting into the playoffs this year, it's because everybody thought last year was their year, and it wasn't. So I'd almost think that, you know, it's kind of one of those expectations were too high, they didn't make it, this year the expectations drop a lot and probably drop a little too far, and then they end up making the playoffs or, you know, making a run, just looking more competitive week in and week out. But that's the AFC East. I think we're on a consensus. It's going to be the Patriots, and we're right with the line makers on that one. They are minus 175 if you want to bet on New England. So have at it, people. Next week, we are going to touch on the NFC East. We're going to alternate conferences back and forth. So we're going to talk about the Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, and Redskins and see where that one takes us. So are you feeling good about the NBA and NHL playoffs starting tonight and tomorrow?
Yes, I'm feeling good about those. You know, like I said before, with the Champions League final coming up on Saturday, we'll be taking a closer look at that, tweeting out our plays for that one either on Friday night or Saturday morning before the game kicks off. So be on the lookout for that. I believe right now it's about a half a goal, I think, is the spread on that game right now, which in that case, you know, they're looking more for an overtime play, which is pretty big in soccer. So you'll see a lot of times it'll say, you know, one will be an extra time or 90 minutes plus, and then the other one will be extra time shootout play as well. I don't see this one going to a shootout or to extra time. So, you know, I'm kind of at a toss-up right now. I believe Juventus' defense has been pretty good, but Barcelona's offense is just really, you know, clicking, and they just got so many different weapons that they can throw at you that I think that's going to be my play. But we'll see as it gets closer, you know, taking a look at who might be injured or, you know, what else is going on as far as guys having to report to their national teams, you know, for summer stuff, even though they won't be reporting right away, they'll be at this game, you know, really where their mindset is going forward. So be on the lookout for those plays coming up.
We will do that. We'll be checking out at the Catracho, C-A-T-R-A-C-H-O. Any other soccer between now and then, or is that going to be it for this week?
You know, I think we'll be making a few plays for the MLS and also possibly taking a look back down in Brazil now that the season is underway. I believe there's been four matches so far down there, so we'll be looking to throw some plays out in both of those leagues, possibly this weekend, so or even maybe tomorrow or Friday, throwing some picks out for those ones. So be on the lookout for that. I'll be taking a look at those over the next few days when I can find the spare time, but I think those ones are ready to go. Just like we said at the beginning of June, we'd be taking a look at those.
All right. Sounds good. Well, for the Red Light Sports Network and Cover That Spread, oh, first off, make sure if you guys have any questions or if you guys want to get in on our daily plays, send me an email to spread@coverthatspread.com, and I will get you guys hooked up. So for the Red Light Sports Network and Cover That Spread, he is the Catracho. I am J.A. Good luck this evening, and may the spread be forever in your favor. Take care, boys.